sorry. Okay, cool. Father God, Lord, we are just so grateful, Father God, for this night, Father, for the breath of life, Lord, for your truth, Lord, for the rest that we have in your Holy Spirit. Father, in the midst of all that is going on around the world, Lord, and even in the lives that we live in, the places that we are, Father, we are just so thankful, Lord God, for Jesus, for the author and the finisher of our faith. We're so grateful, Lord God, that we have a hope, Lord, an eternal hope in you, Father, that's solidified by your Holy Spirit, that bears witness to the truth that we are your children, we are your sons and your daughters. And Father, this day, Lord God, as your people, we just come before you with grateful hearts. Father, we're grateful, Lord God, that you've given us authority, Father God, in every situation that we're in. Lord, that we have, by your Spirit, the authority, Lord God, to bind every demonic force. And so right now, Lord, we exert that authority, Father God. We exercise it. And we bind every demonic force, Lord God, in and around this place. Lord, we bind it and we cast it out. Father, we speak your truth in this place, Lord, and we invite the Spirit of truth to lead and guide our time together. Father, you said in your word to cast all your cares upon you because you care for us. And Lord, to not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and supplication to make our requests known to you. So Father, this day we leave every care and concern at your feet. And Lord God, we don't hold anything in our hearts, Lord, but we just long, Lord God, and yield ourselves to the free flow of your Spirit in and through our lives. And so Lord, right now as we go forward in Jesus' name and the power of your name, Lord God. And we don't need anything else, Lord, because we have all things in Christ Jesus. And you take care and meet every need as we seek first your kingdom. So, Lord, we go forward, Father God, into this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's important to just release and to let go and to leave things with God at his feet. Because it's very, very, very easy, especially now in the way that the world is going and what's happening, to get caught up in everybody else's craziness. And right now what we're in and what we're around and what we're seeing is a lot of people that have had their... You remember Jesus talked about, look, there's, when the storm comes, it tests the quality of everyone's work. Also, when the two people build, one builds on the rock and one builds on the sand. And the storm does come. And so right now, as you see the beginning of the storm, not the storm hasn't yet come. This is just the beginning of compared to what it will be. I mean,
I'll take that out.
Okay. So, you, what? Yeah. Okay. So you've got the beginning of you've got the beginning right now. Sure. Okay. So right now, what you have the beginning of things starting to collapse, but it hasn't really gone into necessarily the judgments of God yet. What you've seen is just the world system beginning to fall apart. But anyways, in the process of that, what happens is a lot of people whose lives have been built on the sand and not on the rock, as their lives start to fall apart, they really start to lose it. And this is where, again, I go back to my drowning analogy. But when I was... I used to be a lifeguard, you know, sometime back when I was in the States. Yeah, don't laugh.
No, I just remembered your advertisement, so...
Oh, yeah, okay, fine. All right, but... no, I used to be a lifeguard. No, but there's one thing about lifeguarding when you have... If somebody's drowning, see, the drowning instinct is so strong. And the drowning instinct is so strong where... the only thing a person is thinking about at that point is just to keep their head above the water. And so when you, okay, like when you watch a person, if they're swimming normally, they're swimming, they're going horizontal, you know, in the water. When a distressed swimmer will start to kind of flip to about 45 degrees, and then a drowning swimmer will be like a 90 degree angle to the surface of the water, and they'll be kind of like pressing down on the water, just trying to keep themselves up. And at that stage, when somebody shifts into like a drowning mode, they're usually you don't have a lot of time when somebody goes into a drowning swimmer, which is, you know, it can be anywhere from 30 seconds to max like 2 minutes between a person getting to that stage before they actually go under. And at that stage, they're expending a ton of energy. They're just trying to keep their head above water. They're panicking. They're freaking out. And the survival instinct is very strong. And if you are a rescuer, when somebody's in that stage, if you don't approach a person like that from the front. Because if you approach them from the front, the only thing they can think of is, I want to stay up right now. For another 5 seconds is enough. And they will literally climb on you. Okay. And grab you and do anything to you, even if you're coming to save them, just because they're so freaked out. And in fact, if you're trying to rescue somebody like that, if they try to push you or they try to climb on you, you're supposed to let them push you under the water and go under the water, because they'll let go, because then they don't want to go under the water. And then you have to, you know, let go, go down deep and then come around. But you always, if you're going to approach somebody like that to help a drowning victim, you have to come from the back. You have to come from behind them, and usually you have like a, it's called either a can or a rescue, like just, there's different rescue devices that you have, and you'd use that, and you kind of pull the person back onto it. And when you pull them back onto it, then you also talk to them. It's like, look, you know, I'm here to help you, just relax, just kick with your feet, you know, just, you know, it's okay. But the problem is, for people in those situations, is that if you are a drowning victim, you're not thinking straight, you're not thinking clearly, you're just trying to survive. And right now what's happening in the world is there's a lot of people now that all of a sudden find out they can't swim, and the only thing they're thinking about right now is, how do I survive for a little bit of time? And they will survive even if it means drowning you. They will push you under, they will pull you under, they will, and you may have the best intention in the world to try to help somebody, but you have to also have wisdom, discernment, and the leading of the Holy Spirit in how you approach any of the situations that you're in and around. And there's a lot of them, and there will be many, 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 many more coming up here. And this is why too, see, God has put His people, anybody that's been listening to the voice of the Spirit of God for some period of time, been walking with Him for some time, not somebody that's just waking up right now in the midst of calamity, but somebody that's been walking with Him, He will have been preparing you, building up a spiritual reserve in you, building up certain things, maybe even in the natural. Some people have, some people don't, but whatever it is that you have right now is what the Father wants you to have if you've been walking with Him, because you've allowed for that process to take place. And in that process taking place with you and through you, now comes the point of carrying that out, executing that, fulfilling whatever that is. So it's a tough thing, because too, people can be moved with all kinds of emotions. You can be, but you want to learn and solidify the response of doing as the Spirit of God leads you. Because again, we go back to the Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. There's a way that seems right if you're trying to save somebody drowning, but you could both die in that situation. You know, if you don't, if it seems right, you know, and this is why they have to train you and teach you too. Hey, don't do it like that. A lot of people have done it like that. They both die. You know, you got two people in the same. So you have to let God lead and let God guide you. And see, right now, the best thing that you can cultivate is that connection with the Spirit of God. Is that to know that you know that you know that this is God speaking, God leading you, God directing you. Because again, see, the world has listened to the counsel of the world. And the result of that has been, now as things start to fall apart, everybody's looking for mass solutions. The one thing is, a lot of these things that people are trying won't work because of also the season that we're in that God has confounded the wisdom of the people of this world. So it's not going to work. It's not going to have the effect that they intend for it to do. So, and also the people of God, the things that we do as led by the Spirit, hey, He came that we might have life, that we might have more abundantly. He also sets us free. He also gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Joseph's the one that gets the idea when the famine's showing up. Joseph, you know, Daniel's, these are the guys that have solutions in the time of distress, in the time of calamity. So the people that are smart in the world will actually, the ones that are smart, you know, that have some sense, you know, although all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding comes from God, there's some that get it. And even the worlders that get it right now, they're defaulting to the people of God. They're like, where is, you know, a man or a woman of God in this situation that I can talk to, that I can work with? The other ones that say, you know, hey, you know, I'm powerful, I can fix this myself, they're being depleted very, very fast. Just like, again, another drowning example, but have you ever, you know, with current, right? When if somebody ever gets stuck in the current, don't think back to bad memories. In the current, if you're being swept along in the current, you don't try to. If you first assess the situation, and you got to see where you're at. But a lot of people, what they do when that happens is they freak out. They're like, "Oh shoot, I'm getting swept away," and they try to swim back to where they came from, and they burn themselves out very fast, because if the current's strong. And so a lot of times what you have to end up doing is, hey, let the current take you with it and go with the flow and wait for your opportunity to get back in. Because otherwise, if you spend yourself right there, you know, you won't be able to make it back, and then you shift into a drowning swimmer because you don't. And now you're a drowning swimmer in the current, and even if there's an opportunity, you're too tired to do anything about it. But what's happening now in the world is you got a lot of people that are now in a season where the current has come, and it's, you know, they're all of a sudden like, oh wow, I'm just, and they're trying to like frantically swim against this thing. And in the process of them trying to swim against this current, they're wearing themselves out, depleting all of their resource, everything, depleting everybody else's thing. And then when the next wave of it hits them, and they're like, oh wow, that was just the beginning of what's to come. You know, then it goes from that to the next, to the next, to the next. And you know, even like Revelation, when it talks about, let's go there really quick. When it talks about Revelation chapter 6 and verse, talking about the horseman, and when it says, and when he opened the third seal, I heard a third beast say, come, and there beheld a black horse, and he said, and he that sat on him had a pair of branches in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard, and it just goes on, but just even speaking about different successions of stuff that happens, a point in time where people will literally be working to survive just for that day, subsistence just for that day, where it kind of comes to that point on a mass scale.
How would that define? How would that was defined?
Well, okay, like when you...
Every time we read Revelation,
yeah,
it just it's like a whole mystical, you know, about creatures and this and that. It doesn't reveal anything to me.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing.
How would you read that, and then would you define to the period of time where people would suffer through that?
Okay, here's something about scripture. With scripture, there's an element of what was, what is to come. In that, it seems to like we go through these cycles. Again, okay, the thing about time is that time doesn't move linearly. time actually goes like in a cycle, and it keeps going like this. But it's not like a full circle. It's more like a spiral.
Okay.
And so even right now, one thing that's happening globally, for example, is the globe, the whole world. Okay, like we're coming into Great Depression too. You know, this is what we're coming into right now. And so for people to, but only this time, you know, it's not America and something small like that. It's now global. So we're coming into Great Depression too, only this time because the interconnectedness of the world and everything in the cycle, this time it's the implications are much, much larger, much, much stronger, and it comes to bear much quicker, much more powerfully, much deeper, you know. So it's the same thing, but it's again different. And so the same thing even with like the book of Revelation, for example. Revelation as a book was written to the early churches, the seven churches, you know, and then with that too, there were some things that happened in 70 AD that were when Jerusalem fell. And with the fall of Jerusalem, what ended up taking place there too, you know, there's arguably Revelation in one form very strongly took place there. You know, the abomination that caused desolation and what was set up in the temple and all the different things that took place there. There's one element of Revelation that took place during that time. And yet, you see the cycle of time continue to move and the Bible as a living document, and now you see these continued circles, if you would, of time happening, and even these things now being set up again. And now with this whole thing, this next season, what you end up seeing again too is there's an element here of, you know, sometimes people jump in and out of like, okay, what is literal, what is figurative? What is, you know, what is the 144,000? Is that, you know, literally 144,000, or is that symbolic of 12, you know, being, you know, the you see what I'm saying?
And people define one verse, we interpret it in so much ways that I don't even know how they come up with that interpretation.
Yeah. And the thing about, all right, a few things about Revelation. One is it's very much a spiritual book in that it's something that only the Spirit of God, God has to reveal. All Scripture is like that. But the thing, there's something that's cool about this book in that it's just like God, there's a mystery even in the book of Revelation that's sealed up to the end of time. For example, like even when John was listening to the angel speak, and then the angel said, and he was about to write it down, the angel said, don't write it down. You know, don't write down what you, and he didn't want that one recorded then, because that was even not for the writing down yet. That was something to be revealed in God's time, even in the season that people would come into later. So the thing about for example, just we even want to talk. All right, let's just look at chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that he that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there should be given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when, okay, and then when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and the name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Okay. And then it goes on. But here's something about this. All right, for example, take something like this, and let's just say on a surface reading of this. Well, if you go and you say, all right, let's look at the second one, verse 5. verse 4, and went out the horse that was red, and power was given to him to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there should be given unto him a great sword. Okay, this last century in the world, just this last century alone, how many wars in the last century that have taken place in comparison to all the centuries before? How many people have died from wars in just this last century? And when you look at, this has been the most violent, bloody century on record, you know, ever, the last century we just came through. And it seems to be continuously escalating as it is. So if I was just to take this on a surface level, and just to take this as a progression, progression would, because it seems like this is a sequence, progression would suggest that having come through and being in the middle right now of one of the most violent periods of time that's ever been, the next thing that's in that sequence and succession is a time where we go into literally people living for subsistence and life, and just, and that being like just trying to survive for that next day, followed by mass death. So now this being, you know, something that's just right there, and now what you see is, okay, globally things are lined up for that. You see everything just kind of unfolding along those lines. And you see again too, it's the truth of Scripture, which is there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. You see man in his way on a mass scale trying to do something to save his life and the lives of, you know, not others, but just like his family. You know, it doesn't go very much beyond that bubble. And because the family is just an extension of him, again, selfishness. But now all of that beginning to collapse. And as it collapses, as it deepens, it goes from this to the next, to the next, to the next, to the point where people will literally, you know, sell out everything, just and sell their soul for that bowl of lentil soup. So just for that, so.
I don't like lentil soup.
Yeah, I know.
Esau.
Yeah, Esau. So. Okay.
Hey.
Oh.
Sorry.
Hey, no problem. And, okay. Yes. Okay, so what you have is you've got this progression taking place. So, now I've heard Revelation taught so many different ways. I really have, and I've heard all kinds of people say, okay, this is this, and this, and this, and this.
I heard people have said that from George Bush, so Bill Clinton, so...
Oh, everybody's the Antichrist.
Everybody's the Antichrist.
Everybody's
Saddam Hussein, who's not dead, to...
Oh, yeah. No, that's
about anybody.
Anybody that sticks up is in the Antichrist.
Yes.
And it's like, and the problem is, even with that, it's like, okay, well, okay, here. There's a spirit of Antichrist for sure, in that anybody that is, okay, look back to when Jesus was being offered the world, basically by Lucifer in Luke chapter 4. And he's being offered position in the system of the world in exchange for his spiritual allegiance. You know, I'll give it all to you if you just buy your, to just give me your soul. I'll make a full trade right here, right now. And and the problem is that, you know, it's like, okay, legitimate offer, limited time. And a lot of people that have taken that, there's others that have come after Jesus from far less, have taken the similar offer. Because again, to think about it like this, if you were Lucifer and the world system was what you were being allowed to exert some control over right now, if that's the case, then why would you allow or give somebody who's a child of God, committed to the ways of God, why would you overtly allow that to happen? You know, you wouldn't, because all of a sudden they're going to shake up your whole plan, people are going to get free, you're going to do everything you can if you're a demonic agent or one working for that demonic structure to keep somebody out of the world system, to keep them at bay. If you got them there, use them as a battery if you can get them, whatever. But no way, no chance you want that person in there. And the rare exception is when you have, by the move of God, by the hand of God, look, okay, Daniel and Joseph, two examples I love to use. Both of them were sold as slaves. Or one was brought in as a captive, the other was sold as a slave. They did not start off, you know, entry-level positions in the corporation. They were, by God's design, put into a very difficult spot. But because in their heart, they said, both of them said, I'm not selling out, despite the offer, you know, that came in a number of different ways. Over the period of time, at God's appointed time, God found a way to create opportunity. But they're rare exceptions, because by and large what happens is the world seeks to keep the people of God out. But it does happen. See, because again, the wheat and the tares does grow together. So God does put His people somehow, some way, puts them in those positions, somehow, some way, gives them success in whatever they do is connected to Him. But the problem the world has is because our source is not the world and the world system. Our source is the Father. We seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and He then blesses and provides and takes care of those that are His. So it's like they hate that, the fact that, hey, you're not plugged into the matrix like the rest of us. You know, how dare you? And you have your soul too, how dare you? You know, and then they're like, well, that's your choice. It's not mine. God's called you to be one of His. God's called me to be one of His. I'm going to walk that out. So, bless you. There's the thing about Scripture too, and this is something that I've seen as well, is it's a living, breathing document. So I can read the same text a dozen times, and God can point out a dozen different things to me each time. And it just happens like that, because it's a living, it's a spiritual document. And so for me, I've read certain things where God will just like, wham, hit me with something where I'm like, this is, and the next time I read it, He'll show me something completely different. So even like the book of Revelation, when I've read through, different parts of the Scripture, God will kind of bring them forward to me at a certain time to just exemplify something, to show me something. And you know, I know that people say, you know, they have all their Bible rules about, you know, this can't be this and this can't be this, whatever. No, I just read it and whatever God shows me, I kind of go with it. It seems to work pretty well. So like, for example, like, you know, when I read the seven churches, it's like, okay, and in chapter 2, chapter 3, a few different ways that God spoke to me out of that before. One is showing me that, hey, this is kind of, for as far as organizational churches, these seven churches kind of seem like about every single type of church I've ever encountered seems to fall within something of like one of those seven to some degree. It's like that's very similar. And also, as on an individual level, it seems like a lot of people seem to be like that, one of those. And then, so another way God showed me something is, hey, if this was a period of time, and if there's one that would kind of classify or categorize what the organization and the institution is in the world, it would probably be the Laodicean church in the time that I'm living in right now, and as far as a succession. So it's like, you know, it's too often like what happens with scriptures. People want to say, okay, yes, seven church ages and seven ages that like this, and so this means this means this, and dot my I's and cross my T's, and now this, it's finished and done. And it's like, no, God will show you something completely different from the last time. And you know what? You just have to be able to move with it when He shows you something. So likewise, for me, you know, he'll just show you another layer of the same thing, another depth of the same thing. So even right now, you know, like when I read through just this part in chapter 6, I see for myself right now with just those four things right there a succession of events on a global scale that we're already in the middle of. You know, I see here for myself, I see peace being taken from the earth. I see economic collapse. I see people moving into. I see all of this. It's like a train wreck unfolding in slow motion. You see the whole thing happening right in front of you. Just like, whoa, this is right there. And the problem is if people are not in connection with the Spirit of God, then they can't see, they can't understand. They look to man to save them, and man has no solution. Man never has had a solution for any one of his problems. So, you know, there's books that are fascinating to study, but you know what too? Entrez, s'il vous plaît. Sure. And there's things that are fascinating to study, but you know what I've noticed too? So many of these old. So many of these old, like a lot of books are so. Yeah, a lot of these books are just dated. You know, like you look at a lot of these old Christian resources and stuff like that, and they're so dead. Because they were written not... You know, the stuff that was written that was like in connection with the Spirit of God, like the Bible, has that eternal residual thing with it. Whereas these, so many of these kind of contemporary Christian books and whatever, I mean, they don't even work before they even get to the printing press. And let alone right now, I mean, how many people with all of their scenarios, how many people with all of the things that they had published, none of it works. So, I mean, it's a good time to do a lot of house cleaning and toss out a lot of these old things because none of them are valid anymore. They weren't valid in the first place. In fact, people wasted a lot of time. So here's something else, too, about, say, something like the Book of Revelation. Okay. Say you know who... Okay, oh, such and such is the Antichrist. Okay, you're right. Now what? say you got it figured out. Say you totally figured it out. This person is the Antichrist. This person is the person, whatever. Okay, now what? You know? If that's all that you're doing, then you're still on the sidelines. You're still kind of, excuse me, it's like in sports, you know, you have the people that are on the field playing and then you have the people that are in the stands watching. And everybody in the stands watching is like, oh, such and such, they should do this, they should do that, they should... But you're still watching. You're watching the whole thing unfold. But you're not really in it. And so you figure out all these different pieces, then what? See, right now, this is again too, yes, you should study. Yes, you should be aware of the times you're in. Yes, you should give things some attention and some thought. Sure. But not more than necessary. The most important thing is to keep that connection with the Father and be part of what He's doing right now. Because He is doing something with those that are His. He is leading and guiding those that are His a certain way. There is a reason that we're here. Now, there is a spirit of Antichrist in the world, yes, very much so. And the spirit of Antichrist right now that's here in the world is, it's, you know, whoever, like, as far as, like, a person goes, that'll be, you know, maybe, so you'll have that physical embodiment, but there's a lot of people that still serve the same thing. You know, they serve that spirit, that they're anti-Jesus, the real Jesus. You know, they'll give you anything else but the real Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's very real, that's very strong, it's right there. So, you know, it's like, it's another distraction that people get stuck with. You know, it's very easy to. But it's like, you know, this day, right now, what's relevant to who you are and where you are right now? Ah, come, come, come. Okay. So.
How are you feeling?
Good. Okay. Natasha. She's off at Jesus, but she's
still
here. So we're talking a little bit about Revelation, a little bit about Antichrist and all that kind of stuff. Actually, totally off what we were originally going to start with, but this is all right. Because the one thing is like, see, people get sidetracked and they get off on all kinds of stuff. No, here's the bus. Okay. With all the things that are taking place right now in the world, say somebody figures out all of these different pieces, what are you going to do with that information? You know, how does that then apply to now the life that you live here, this day? You know, one thing too is like sometimes when people try to figure this stuff out, they try to figure it out so they can save their lives in this world. And the truth of that is that if you try to save your life in this world, you lose it. If you lose your life for the gospel, you find it. So, you know, sometimes what happens is people think, oh, okay, let me just figure out this and then I can get a good investment. I can get success in the world. Oh, when I know when the markets are going to drop here and financial collapse, I'll trade it and I'll put it into this. And I'll do. You know, I mean, still, again, what's the spirit and the heart behind that? It's still, you know, let me get some kind of success in the world. It's still that love for the world in another twisted form. Of even in the middle of it, let me just get one more round at the crap table. You know, it's like let me get one more roll of the dice. I mean, seriously, it's like the Titanic sinking, and people are still in the gambling room saying, you know, lucky seven, and it's like, you know, they still can't wake up. So, you and I are ambassadors of Christ in this world. And right now, one of the major calls that we have is you're on a search and rescue mission, but it's not for, you're looking for those that have a heart for truth. God will bring them across your path. You share with them what it is that God gives you to share with them, and you move on. You know, and God will bring those that are His. And there's a lot of people that are already dead. They're just still walking around, but they're already dead. You know, they've already checked out a long time ago, and they actually exist to block anybody else that would try to leave. So, like that song "Hotel California." Okay, there's here. Give. I want to go back to something actually I spoke on Sunday, but I wanted to touch on the scripture from that one and build it out a little bit more. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Lazarus afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass from us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. Okay. One thing that I talked about on Sunday when I actually just did a sermon on this one was this is a real story. This is not a parable. When Jesus talks about this, there's a few reasons why this is a real story. One is he uses a name. He gives the actual person's name, Lazarus. Also, inconsistent with Scripture, he doesn't give the rich man's name because Scripture also says that the name of the wicked will rot. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7 and also in the Psalms in 109. So the name of the wicked will rot. So if Jesus would have said the rich man's name, that name would have lived on. But the name of the wicked will rot. Another reason why this guy speaks about five brothers that he has. He's very specific about certain things. So this is, you know, when Jesus told parables, he, you know, he said, this is like this. This is like this. And he'd give an analogy. But in this case, it's like very pointed, very clear. And he speaks of, Jesus speaks of what the eternal reality was. When Jesus is on the earth now, at that point in time, he's speaking about the eternal reality that those souls that had been before now were existing in. And see, here's something too. For us, this life is transitory. We're all just passing through your four seasons of time. And while you're here, the choices, the decisions, the path, all of that that takes place, you go on into an eternal reality based on the direction that you were going in this life. So Jesus, when he says, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, he'd say to the disciples, hey, come and follow me. Because when somebody follows him, their life is going in a particular spiritual direction. So when the body dies, that spirit and that soul continue on throughout all eternity into that spiritual direction. Now, the thing that was established too when we talked about this on Sunday was, you know, the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich, and the poor man didn't go to the place of comfort because he was poor. You know, so this is not, it's not about, that's not what it's about. But, and actually, because, and then we established too, what it was that, what was the sin of the rich man? And it's in this passage there itself where it talks in verse 29 where it said, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham. And he goes on, but basically, you know, even in death, he was saying, or Abraham being the father of the faith, but basically just saying no to God in death. To the truth, to the true God. No, no. He was saying no to the kingdom of God, to God's system, God's way throughout. And he had said in his life, yes to the world and the world system. So like earlier on when it says in verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Now somebody asked me about this after service. And the thing was, okay, back to Jesus. When Jesus in Luke chapter 4 was, you know, what the offer was, hey, give your allegiance and your soul to the world and the world system, bow your knee ultimately to the prince of the power of this world, and in doing that, you know, Jesus was offered, you know, all the kingdoms of the world. This guy got received in his lifetime good things. So this was his payoff for his allegiance to the world and the world system. Now, so the payoff that was given to the rich man was, hey, you know, you get to be something right now. Now, the difference between the time that we live in, so there's on a spiritual level, there's a great divide in the level of the spirit between those two systems. There's just this massive spiritual divide. And though you may exist in the same world, as far as like walking around on the same planet, on a spiritual level, there is no bridging that gap as such, between like, okay, let's all get along and let's... No, you have two different governments going on. There is one bridge from death to life, which is Christ Jesus. But it's, you cross over. You know, it's not, it's a crossover from death to life, which is Christ Jesus, but it's to go into the kingdom of God. See, again, with Antichrist and all of that kind of stuff and all that kind of talk, well, okay, all the governments of the world, they're governments. They're systems of rule, they're systems of authority, there's structures, whatever they may be. And the kingdom of God is the dominion of the king. And when you're under the dominion of the king, you're not Filipino, you're not Japanese, you're not Sri Lankan, you're not American, you're not whatever. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God, a soul liberated. That's now, your knees been bowed to the king. And basically whatever he says, you'll do. Very dangerous for a world and a world system that's seeking to keep control. Because now, what does it do with you? You know, if you are just doing whatever it is that God shows you, and if you like, excuse me, if you like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you're put into the crunch, hey, bow your knee, or we'll throw you into the fire. And you're like, hey, you know, there's certain things I can obey, you know, you guys in, as long as it doesn't violate God's commandments that he's already given. But when it comes down to the crunch, if there's ever a place where I have to default, I'm always going to the kingdom of God. You know, just happens that the places where we may have some overlap, you know, we can work together, but otherwise no dice. And then what happens is they're like, okay, let's throw this guy in there, and then to try to throw them in, and everybody that's involved in the throwing in process, they all die, but then the guys that were thrown in there, they're sustained and protected because, oh shoot, God's with them too, and God's with them in the fire, and God's taking care of them. And so, excuse me. So, basically what we've moved into right now is, see, the rich man in this story had a season of provision. He actually went up to his deathbed with all of that stuff still in place. And right now what's taking place is a lot of people were on that path, are on that path. And now that thing is falling apart. In this country, what, Golden Key, and we've had several other things, and people's memberships at their water's edge is being taken away and all. But basically, some initial stuff of people losing what they thought they had in the world, and people starting to freak out. Now, think about it from just a logical standpoint. Stop and take a step back. Not a soul has come into this world to stay in this world. Is there anybody that's taken a dime with them, taken one rupee with them when they've left this world? Anyone, ever? You have entire monuments in Egypt built to people that thought they could try. They didn't. Somebody came in after they died a few hundred years later and would rob their graves and take it and sell it on eBay. And it's like, it's like, you know, it doesn't, you can't take anything with you. So, for example, now, but what... See, people consider this such a bad thing. Hey, you know what? If you can see it through the eternal eyes, praise God if this is what it took to wake you up. You hope that some people, through the midst of what takes place right now, will wake up and will realize, whoa, wait a second, everything that I based my life on was a lie. I was committed to the wrong kingdom. I was not on the right track. And when they come to the end of their rope in this life, while they still have breath, that they would then say, Lord God, please help me, please save me. Because you know what? There's a promise for God's people. The kingdom of God promise is, look, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, that he will take care of your needs in Matthew 6. Is that promise not good in an economic recession? You know, is that promise not good when everything else is falling apart? No, that promise is true throughout, because God is true throughout. So for myself, I know that, look, hey, if and not because I want anything out of this world, but just because of the truth of the principle and the Word of God, if I'm seeking the Lord first, if I'm seeking His way, His will, His kingdom to come first, if that's the number one priority, if I'm, like Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. All right, if I'm doing that, and if I'm giving all of myself that I understand to all of God that I know, that He's meeting me at that point, hey, this is default. This is happens automatically. The needs that I have will be taken care of throughout for the entire duration of the life that I live while I'm here. That sounds pretty good to me. I don't need a retirement package. I don't need anything. And actually, when you think about it too, you're transiting through this world anyways. So we're here for a window of time, and in that window of time that we're here, you know, it's like, okay, why would you go to, you take a trip to Tamil Nadu. You're like, oh wow, I'm in Tamil Nadu, great, fantastic. And you know you're leaving in 3 weeks. Are you going to start building a house? You know, I mean, are you going to start, you know, investing a lot of your life and your energy there? No, probably not, because you know, hey, I'm passing through. Now, likewise, I'm not saying that, you know, hey, you know, you're here, you're in this world. You know what? God may bless you to build a house, have a home, do whatever. You know, or maybe you just rent for the next 5 years and 10 years. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm saying that that's not your focus. That's not what's consuming your time and your energy and all of this thinking in the mind that you have. Because you realize, hey, I am passing through this place. I am just here for a season of time. So then when you realize, hey, I'm just here for a season of time, while I'm here, I've been sent here as an ambassador by Christ, so now let me then carry out whatever it is that He has for me to do. So rather than getting distracted again with all the affairs of the world, because that's again what the world seeks to do. The world says, hey, if this guy's getting free, let's get him wrapped up in everything else. So what else can we get this person sucked into? How can we get their mind caught up into something that will keep them from ever accessing the authority, the power, the creativity, the whatever it is that God has put in them? How can we keep that dormant? How can we keep that docile? And so likewise too, even in the story, hey, you know, the thing about Lazarus was he was outside the system, and he was one of God's. And the eternal reality is, hey, he's right now, that brother's in a far, far, far better place. So it's to focus your eyes, set your hearts on things above. Put your mind and your mindset, and set that in the line of kingdom line. So now that's going to be challenged. So, but to realize again, you got to always go back to the fact that yes, we are in the dream world. Yes, we are surrounded by these things. Okay, but right now where we are, and right now where we are in the world, we're in a time right now where the systems of men is breaking down, and it's begun. So now, as things continue to crunch, so they won't be able to salvage their thing. So now, as this stuff starts happening too, what ends up happening for those that follow Christ is, how real is it for you? You know, do you really trust this word? Do you really believe Matthew 6? You know, where He says He'll take care of you, He'll meet your needs. Or is it just a cursory reading and you still are looking to the world to provide for you? Because ultimately, that when you start getting down to like the mark of the beast and all those kind of things that are there, which is basically what something like that indicates, is somebody taking, on a spiritual level, they've already sold themselves to the world and the world system, but they take something in their physical body that just seals their allegiance to this, the world and the world system. So rather than seeking first the kingdom of God and God taking care of him or her out of his provision, out of his kingdom, they look to the system of the world and they say, look, I will be part and parcel of that system and I'll play my role in that and I'll bow my knee to the system of the world in exchange for provision. Which, and what this, the world wants is, it wants, hey, I'll, the world says, hey, I'll provide for you, but I want your soul. So that the point of the mark being, hey, look, it's like, what it is it's not, it's somebody, spiritual allegiance, bowing to that system and that world, and not to God. So they've given themselves over to that completely, lock, stock, and barrel. So, as far as the kingdom though goes, for us right now, see, you're here, you and I are here. The way I like to think about it, it's like the Titanic has the five side plates have all been ruptured, the boat is going down, it's guaranteed this thing is going to sink, and you and I in Christ Jesus are, you're this Navy SEALs recon team that's like come up to the side of the boat, and you know, and now the boat's going down, it's guaranteed, it's on its way down, and we go into the world, though we're not of it, but we're in the world, not of it, but we go up onto the deck of the boat and we have a window of time that we're here, and the purpose that you're there is search and rescue. And you got your little earpiece, everyone's got their little earpiece, and you've got the eye in the sky that's looking and saying, you know, oh yeah, yeah, there's somebody here, oh yeah, there's somebody there. And you're responding and working with that whole thing for a very brief, now the boat that you came up in, there's enough room on there for anybody that comes. But you know, not everybody wants to leave the boat. Not everybody else realizes the boat's going down. And you're kind of in this whole mix. But for us, you're search and rescue for a limited period of time. And then when your job is done, hey, it's done. See, if you're in Christ Jesus, first of all, take the pressure off. If you're in Christ Jesus right now, you were dead in Christ, and now you are alive in Him. So the life that you live now in the world is in Christ. So the pressure's already off. Hey, it's already about Him anyways. It's not about any kind of success in this life, success in this world, anything that would... it's not about anything that would... at the end of the day, that I would be able to do for what? So, because of the fact that, like, the life that we still live in this world is about Him, then the choice and the reality has to be reflected then in, like, don't let that mindset of the world creep in. Because it's going to keep challenging you. It's going to keep, and even now more so, because, again, what you're surrounded by. See, what you're surrounded by right now is a lot of people panicking. And a lot of people that were in the place where basically they bowed their knee to the world, this is the first stage of stuff. The scriptures talk about it in Revelation again too, back to the mark, but the people that take that mark, how there's a physiological response that they end up having, that they end up getting all kinds of like sores and problems that they have in their body because of taking that thing. So, I mean, if I was to take that into today, you know, I'd say, okay, it probably involves something, I mean, just me making a guess, but something that involved nanotechnology, something that involved even altering of the human physiology, body, mind, chemistry, along those lines, that resulted in a very strong even rejection, you know, by the physical body for the people that ended up taking that thing. So, because, you know, the thing too is, again, is, you know, we're created beings. There's certain things that make us up. And you live right now in a world that's bent on robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying. So there's certain things that are happening even around us right now that are seeking to, you know, alter your perception, alter your conscience. And it's like, I mean, if you eat certain foods, you either think more clearly or have a hard time thinking. You know, if you just on a very practical level, it's like if you eat a bunch of white doughy flour, you know, or you know, you pump yourself full of sugar, you know, it's like it'll have a certain effect on you. So now you think the devil doesn't know that. So if his goal is to, hey, you know what, rob, steal, kill, destroy, keep the mind. So you have to. And so there's steps that are even being taken that have been taken for a long time to destroy mankind and destroy people. And usually in the process too, those that are part of it get a financial benefit, a financial kickback for being part of that. Hence the war in this country. You know, the question is, who's profited off this thing? Off the death and the blood of people that live here. So that's the nature of the world. See, the world again too, you have your pyramid, you have your hierarchy, and people that are within that system, they succeed in that system based on their willingness to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And when now, the dynamic that you live in right now is when the thing starts to fall apart, they have to kill off the bottom layers. Because as the provision starts going away, for example, and there's less to go around, okay, whoever's down below, you know, you're locked in the lower decks of the sinking ship. Because there's only so much room in their lifeboats that they think. Only the thing that they don't realize is that, hey, the guy above you is about to cut your throat. And see, you're going to start seeing again too in the world is a lot of people are, for the sake of their own survival, so they'll think, will do some really horrible things. And see, that's the thing too, is like when you start getting down to, okay, now it's not about political gain or whatever, but it's about food and water and staying warm for a winter and what people end up starting to do just to survive. I mean, like for example, this last winter, you know, and they just kind of had this thing within when Russia cut off the gas to Europe, cut it off to the Ukraine, but then like it ended up getting cut off to like all these European countries. It was the first time that for these guys they were like, whoa, wait a second, there's no heat. That changes things a lot. Now multiply that by, okay, you know, not that we're not selling it, but we don't have it to give, or we're not going to give it. And weather patterns that are absolutely crazy, and tons of snow coming down, and cyclones, and hurricanes, and earthquakes, and financial collapse, and people dying from plague and starvation, and food supplies being scarce, and some kind of meteor shower showing up, and I mean, just start going through all the different things compounding, where it'll get to a point in the world where as people, one thing will hit so fast and there won't be time for people to recover in between one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. So as soon as one thing happens, the next thing will come, and the next thing will come, and the next thing will come. And scriptures talk about how men's hearts will fail them for when they see the things that are coming on the earth. It'll come to the point where people will just melt with fear because everything's coming apart around them, and they can't they themselves, they can't figure out. It's just, what do you do? See, this is where too, it's like where the people of God, again, when you know Christ Jesus, when you have Him, it's different. Your entire reality is different. Your entire perception is different. The reason that you're here, the reason that you exist is about Him. For us, if you really know Him, if you die now, it's fine. Totally. Happy to check out. Thank you very much. I enjoyed my stay in Tamil Nadu Hotel. It's like, I mean, it's you're thrilled to leave. Because you know that when you leave this world, you the hope that you have in Christ is, and the knowledge that you have because of the relationship you have with the Spirit of God, is that when you leave this world, you go on from this place to be with Him for all eternity. Great, fantastic, love it. So while I'm still here, hey, I got a little bit of time here. Lord, what is it that You'd have me to do? And see, we, the difference between us and those that are in the world and the world system is they went by their own knowledge. They fell for it. They committed themselves to that thing and it didn't work and it never would work. They just were, the illusion was held together for a little bit longer than it never worked. And for us, we have gone on learning that, hey, God takes care of His people. God watches out for us. God's with us. And we're walking through this life with Him. We live by a different system. We live by a different code. We live under the dominion of the King. And with what He shows us out of that system, out of His system, is really what life was intended to be. So one of my prayers has been, Lord, I want to live the maximum life that is possible, that You intended in this dispensation, and right now, what I'm living in right now, let me live the maximum life that possible that You've made available to me in Christ Jesus, whatever that is. I didn't put any expectations on what that would look like. If that meant me being a janitor, great. Or if that meant me being, you know, some billionaire flying around in a jet, whatever. I don't care. Whatever it is, according to how He defines it, according to how He reveals it, according to how He would make that happen, so let it be. That's my prayer. That was my request. That was, and He's been doing that for and with me. And my life, since I prayed that, and I've continued just to, you know, He's brought that back to me time and again, that's been my prayer, and that's, you know, my heart is to walk with Him in this whole thing. And my life has changed dramatically several times. And each time that it changes, it's always something. And it's like life is an adventure. And life is just, it's different. And there's different things that are happening. And there's different things that are that He has you involved with. And you make different relationships. And you just experience. And it's just real. It's alive. It's vibrant. And the whole time you're going on this journey with Him. And why not? You know, why not? Why not go that line rather than saying, hoping, okay, let me try to make a really nice sandcastle here before, you know, the tide comes in. So, right now, you know, one thing too that God did with His people was is He made a distinction between when the crunch came down. He made a distinction. Exodus is a fine example of this. When those that were His people in the land of Goshen and those that were part of the world, Egypt being a type of the world, and when the crunch came down, the people that were His didn't suffer the plagues, didn't lose their light, didn't go, you know, they were all right in the midst of everything else that happened, but they saw and they witnessed with their own eyes what ended up taking place in that time. And see, that's why too, and now there was, but they always had to be in step and in obedience with God. So for example, if they tried to leave the land of Goshen when the hailstones are coming down in Egypt, hey, you know, you're out of position. You know, don't miss that. Don't Don't mess with it. God is doing something. You got to be in step with the voice of the Spirit of God. Moses and Abraham, or Moses and Aaron, would give very clear instructions for how to go about dealing with the next things that would come. And God's speaking to His people right now. Do this. Don't do that. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. And so even then too, when the angel of death, visited the whole land. He didn't skip the land of Goshen. He went through the whole thing. There are certain things that will come and wipe through everything. And at that point in time, what happened was God said to the people and gave Moses the instruction, hey, kill a lamb. The whole Passover thing came from that whole thing. Kill the lamb, put the blood on the door, and then when the angel comes and comes through this place, when he sees the blood on the door, he will pass over your house. He will spare everybody that's in the house. I mean, there's powerful stuff in relationship to this, to Christ, to what we live in right now, and the blood of Christ Jesus applied on our lives, the doors of our hearts, and how death has no power over us because the blood of Christ is there. It's just amazing. But God gave very specific instructions, and when that plague came, and when those people were then affected, how the children of Israel, when they obeyed, if you didn't do what God's had for you to do during that time, you would have had the same consequences as the Egyptians did. But they learned very quickly, hey, wait a second. We see the hand of God working. We understand this is His hand. Let's get on the right page. What's God saying right now? What's God doing right now? Let's be in step with Him. And so right now, the admonition, the encouragement is, hey, get in step with the voice of the Spirit of God, because He has assignments for you to do. He has things for you to do. But He also will take you through the minefield of this world. And He will empower you to overcome. That's the other thing. Back to the seven churches we talked about a little earlier. Every single individual, every single church, the admonition is to him who overcomes. In John 16, the end of the chapter, Jesus said, look, I overcame the world. Here, let's look at that one. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 says, let's start verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So Jesus tells these guys, hey, look, I've overcome the world. And then in Revelation 2, Revelation 3, hey, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. No matter what situation all these guys were in, every one of them is told, hey, to him who overcomes. So Jesus, three things here. One, he says, even if everybody else leaves you, you know that, hey, if you're walking with Christ, the Father's with you. Behold, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll always be with you. So for me, for you, you know that if you're walking with Christ, He's always with you throughout the duration of your life. One. Number two, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. So when we remain in Christ Jesus, and His word remains in us, we have peace. See, right now, I am amazed how many people don't have peace, and it's increasing like crazy around me. People are just around me are losing the plot. You know, they don't have peace. But if you're in Christ and His word remains in you, you have peace in spite of the situation. So you remain in Him, His word remains in you, and you remain in the peace of God. And when Jesus spoke about peace too, because before when He talked about it, He said, look, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give like the world gives. That peace that He spoke about was it's internal serenity amidst external tribulation and turmoil. So you can inside your soul have a sea of glass while all around you everything's raging and all is falling apart around you. Peace in this world of spirit is not, hey, let's let's have a ceasefire. You know, that's not peace. That's a cessation of hostilities. Peace is inside the resolution and the resolve taking place, where just like Jesus said in the storm, hey, be still, and it's still. And inside your soul, it's just calm. And see, one thing that happened with me, I remember when I was in India one time, it was a bit of a rough situation. And the situation didn't change, but God showed me something in that, where though the situation didn't change, I changed in that situation. I had the whole Acts 16 experience, not to that degree, but something very similar, where just like I was in a bad situation, whatever, but God, inside of me, I changed in that situation. And though my external environment didn't change, internally within my spirit something changed, because I got on the right page with God. And it doesn't matter what your external environment is, that inside you can have peace and you can be walking in whatever situation, because God is with you in that. And then the last one in this set, though, number three, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So guaranteed you're going to have tribulation. Guaranteed you're going to have trouble. Guaranteed everyone in this world has trouble. But the difference is, the trouble that you and I want to have is the trouble that comes from being a follower of Christ Jesus, and one that comes from walking with Him. Because that is short term, has eternal lasting benefit. And He says, be of good cheer. Again, later on in the scriptures, when they would write about the same thing, they say, hey, consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and that hope doesn't disappoint. So they would continue to expound on the same words, the same admonition, which is, hey, consider it pure joy when you go through this stuff for walking with Christ, because you know what? You're on the right path. And everything the devil uses against the servants of God to try to destroy them, if you walk with Christ in the right line, that will then be used to actually, again, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. That God uses those things for your good, your strengthening, your benefit. You move on in that line that Christ has for you. And we overcome in this world because we are remaining in Christ. You remain in Him, His words remain in you, and you end up living out the exact same thing that Jesus did, which is through this life, that progress that He went through, and that life that He went through, and the overcoming life that we live in this world is in the resurrection life that we now have in Christ. So, burned up my time, so stop there. But,